Moncrief on News Talk.
How well are our children reading? According to a study published in the UK, just a third of children and young people there say they enjoy reading, the lowest level in two decades. A study published during the summer, which included Ireland, found a decline in reading, particularly among second-level kids. But a third study published last year found that Irish primary school children were the second best in the world for reading ability. It's a contradictory picture, but it does raise the question if we're encouraging children enough to read for pleasure. We're joined by the prolific children's author Sarah Webb. Good afternoon, Sarah.
Hello, Sean. Hello, hello. My favourite subject, children's books.
Yes, indeed. And your job too, of course. Just before just before we get into the kind of the meat of this, because you write mainly in the kind of 9 to 12 year old category. Do you have to judge what you think their attention level will be? How do you kind of judge what reading level they're at and meet them there?
That's an interesting question, and one which a lot of grown-ups ask. I read like a child and I write like a child, I think. So rather than kind of thinking what would a 9, 10, 11-year-old, what level do they have to read and what would they like reading about, I actually step into the shoes of a character who is about 11, 12, 13, and then it just takes off for me. So I don't actually overthink it. I just seem, touch wood, cross fingers, to be naturally able to channel an 11 or 12 year old.
Yeah, because I imagine it's probably instinctive for you at this stage of the game.
Yes. Yeah, but even when I was starting, you know, I didn't overthink it, I just did it. And I think a lot, if you've ever met Owen Colfer, the lovely Owen Colfer, with the twinkle in his eye, or Derek Landy, or Marita Conlon McKenna, if you scratch most children's writers, you'll find a child pretty quickly.
Yes.
So yeah, we're all quite in tune. It's a bit like primary school teachers, Sean. I often find primary school teachers have that just connection with young people that has never really wanted gone away. You know, they're working with children for a reason.
Now, and part of the reason I asked you this, Sarah, it was that in one of those studies found that both in Britain and Ireland, that reading tends to go down once they hit secondary school. Could you infer from that their attention level is going down once they hit secondary school?
Yes. Yeah, I think it's really interesting because the research you were citing, which is from the UK National Literacy Trust, discussed how there's 3 in 10 like reading for fun of teenagers. So once they hit kind of first year in Ireland. But in fact, half of primary school students were saying that they did enjoy reading for pleasure at home. Mm. So it drops off a cliff when they reach secondary. But I think it's not necessarily just reaching secondary and becoming a teenager. It's when they get a mobile phone. And I'm really interested in, there's a Greystones project called It Takes a Village. I don't know if you've heard of it, where the whole of the schools, I think there's 9 primary schools in Greystones, and they have all banded together to try and make sure that children don't have mobiles until they reach secondary. So they're all doing this together. But I'd be fascinated to see what those children's attention span is like, and are they reading? And are they reading more than the average Irish child who doesn't have, you know, who has access to a mobile? So I'd be fascinated. Unfortunately, the research isn't there yet, but I think the research will come. But I think you're absolutely right. It does drop off at teen, and we're not quite sure why. And that's why we do need a big chunk of research going on, which is starting to be done. I'm really pleased to say there's a new Centre for Literacy Research Policy and Practice set up in DCU. And the director there, who is Dr. Ethna Kennedy, has said, I was talking to her recently because I'm really interested and a little bit concerned by this, actually, by the drop off in reading, both as a writer and as a bookseller and parent. They are looking into children reading and attention span as part of their work.
Yeah.
So the research will come. Mm. Yeah.
So, but I suppose one could, and perhaps this is anecdotal or I'm guessing, but on a mobile phone, what you're looking at, you're perhaps looking at narratives a lot of the time, but they're very short narratives.
Yeah,
they're TikTok.
They're short, aren't they? Yeah, they're really short. And there's that whole swiping thing, you know, they'll watch something for two, not even, I was going to say 2 or 3. 3 minutes, Sean, but I think it's only about 30 seconds, 20 to 30 seconds, and then they move on to the next thing, then the next thing. And this is, it must be remolding their plastic little brains as children, you know. Our brains are kind of set this stage, especially mine. But children's brains are elastic, you know, they're changing all the time, especially when they're little. So, you know, that act of just a lot of little bits of media being thrown at them, it must be changing the, and we just don't know. But what I would like the government to start doing is actually looking at it really seriously. In the article you were talking about, which talks about the National Literacy Trust, there's a wonderful man called Frank Cottrell Boyce. And Frank is the UK laureate for children's books. We have a laureate, Nanogue Trish Ford, but he is amazing, Frank. And he says we're at risk of losing a generation if we do not concentrate on how they are taking in information, how they're reading. He's concerned they're not being played with as little ones. There is a wonderful influencer, Sean, called Keelan Moncrief.
And
I was watching I was watching her the other day because she's really interesting, because she makes books part of her little one's life. And I think that is incredible. And I'd love to see more young people like that, more influencers, you know, using social media as a platform to help and inform other young parents about the benefits of, you know, why they should be playing with children, why they should be reading to children, you know, what going to the library does, and, you know, how libraries are free. There's no fines anymore. All this kind of thing, because, you know, there's the old phrase, if you can't see it, you can't be it. What's also interesting is adults aren't reading as much. You know, so adults have dropped off as well. So, you know, I personally know I'm watching more Netflix. There's some really good stuff at the moment on streamers, you know, and I know I'm reading less and I'm trying to read more. And I'm a huge reader, you know.
Yeah.
But the Reading Agency report in July this year said that more than a third of adults have given up reading for pleasure. And especially the 16 to 24-year-olds, there's only about 30% of them now who are regular readers. Our age group, Sean, well, sorry, I'm not sure what age you are, but the kind of 50 and over, 62% read regularly. So, you know, it's not, I don't think it's just children. I think it's kind of a general thing. But the difference is, me and you can make a choice. We can go, well, I'll read or I won't, or I'll watch telly or I won't. But kids can't. You know, little babies and toddlers, they don't have a choice of what we're doing with them. And they have a right to be played with, I believe. And they have a right to be read to, you know.
It kind of, it also strikes me, it undermines that, you know, if they stop reading when they're in secondary school, that somehow that idea of investing in a cultural artifact. Now, it can be a book, it can be a movie, it can be lots of other things that, you know, it might require a bit of effort at the start, but it's hugely rewarding once you give it a chance. But that idea of giving it a chance has been completely undermined. It has to grab you within 10 seconds or you swipe left.
Yeah. Now, interestingly, BookTok has had a big influence on that age group we're talking about, which is 16 to 24, who are dropping off readership. But from what I can see from the statistics from BookTok, most of the books being sold are romance, or what they call romantasy, which is kind of a mashup of romance and fantasy. So I would take from that, and it may not be, it's a bit of a generalization, that there's a lot of young women reading those books, and some young men, I'm sure. Yeah, so I think that's another area that we need to look at. Perhaps we're not creating books that these young people want to read. We're not, the content we're offering them isn't, you know, it's not, I would love to see sports people producing books for kind of teenagers. We see a lot of celebrity, I'm not usually going out going, go celebrities, publish more books, but I am asking them to consider that kind of maybe 14 to 16 age group, and especially boys, and maybe just to think, well, you know, what can I write that they might think is cool? You know, there's a lot of rugby and sportsmen out there who might be able to produce something really interesting for that age group.
Well,
Marcus,
I know
Rashford has done it in the UK.
Yeah, no, because I know, like, I've a nearly 9 year old, and you know, when we read books that are written by Irish authors, it engages her 25% more. Because she goes, oh my God, you know, there's a Queevin in my class. You know, just the names kind of chime with her. Is there perhaps enough of that for the kind of in the YA area, enough Irish authors doing that?
No, there isn't. No, I mean, there's some amazing people. There's Mary Louise Fitzpatrick. We have Deirdre Sullivan, Dave Rudden. We need more. We always need more. There are a lot of Irish books for all age groups, but I think, actually, do you know, we do. We have quite a lot in the YA area. We have Clara Kumagai, Sarah Crossan, multi-award winner. I think just sometimes we're not as aware of the Irish authors for children and young people as we are as the adult authors. There's an amazing writer called Catherine Doyle, who is at the moment in the New York Times top 10 with her new romanticy, which is called The Dagger and the Flame. And it hasn't really charted here, which is a shame. You know, I'd love to see more attention for the Irish. We set up a campaign last year called Discover Irish Children's Books to do just that, you know, to really shout about the amazing Irish books we have here. Because you're quite right. Your lovely researcher, Simon, was saying that he was reading a Dublin fairy tale. Oh, no, it was a blooming Great Day, I think it's called, by Una Woods. Mm. And his daughter said, oh, it's Dublin. I know Dublin. You know, I think it makes a huge difference for children to see either the village they're from, the town they're from, or like that, to see an Irish name.
Yeah.
You know, we're very proud of Saoirse Ronan. We're very proud of Anne Enright and Claire Keegan and Colm Tibbean. I'd love us to be equally knowledgeable and proud of like Oliver Jeffers and Chris Houghton and Marisa Conlon McKenna. I went into a school a few weeks ago and none of them have ever heard of Marisa Conlon McKenna. I was going, lads, she's our classic. She's our choice. You know, she's our modern classic children's writer. She wrote the amazing Under the Hawthorn Tree and she is still going strong. You know, she's been writing for 30 years, which is extraordinary.
Yeah.
So I'd love to see kind of more attention drawn to those people. But I do think it's hugely beneficial for children and young people to see themselves on the page. Like you said, that they can see their name in a book or their town, you know, hugely beneficial, much more engagement. Yeah, absolutely.
Sarah, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was that was the author Sarah Webb there. One texter says, just as Sarah said herself, reading decline in teenage kids is purely down to having a mobile phone. That seems to be the case. And there seem to be some stats to back that up. As Sarah was saying there, there is in DCU now, they've set up a unit to actually research that. So we, you know, we'll wait and see what the results of that anymore. But I think we could probably almost guess what they are. Someone else says, I assume they're an adult. I can't read books anymore. I can't even read more than a paragraph. All I read now are the headlines in Daily Mail articles, and then I look at the pictures. That's all I need to know in this world. With the greatest respect, if that's all you can do in terms of your attention span, I wouldn't look at the Daily Mail if you really want to know what's going on in the world.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.